Hello and welcome to the Slow Paz. I'm Ewan, and this week I'm once again joined by Harry and Greg. Harry, how you doing, mate?
Mate, Hibs are all right in form, so I'm doing all right. You know the rules.
What about yourself, Greg?
Not bad. We go.
Right, last week we spoke about how it felt like it was going to be a really big sort of 3 days for Hibs with two games that we probably didn't expect to be that entertaining, but if we could come out of them in a positive vein, then it really set us up for going into October, which is sort of a tricky month. So we'll start with Dundee United game. Harry, what did you make of the general performance? Obviously, it's a fantastic result.
Yeah, in terms of the result, very happy, obviously. Cup games, it's all about getting through. I predicted it was going to be a stuffy 0-0 or 1-1 draw and go to penalties. I thought overall performance-wise, we were pretty poor. I don't think that we looked very good on or off the ball, particularly in the second half. You came over, and because we were sitting quite near each other, you came over and we chatted at halftime, and I just said I didn't really think that we looked like we were up to much, but thankfully we were clinical moving forward. And at the end of the day, if you get three goals, you're able to sit on leads. I've said that before with Jack Ross. I get a bit worried when we go one goal ahead or two goals up and we start sitting on leads. But if you're three goals ahead, then you can kill a half. Like, we're good enough defensively to sit on these leads. Overall, I'm just happy we got through.
Yeah, I think as well, when it's a cup game as well, you know what I mean? There's no end, like, the only byproduct of the win or the loss is being in and out of the cup. So it's not like goal difference comes into play or anything like that, or like it was a two-legged game. Like, if we'd went for it and kept open up and we'd scored four or five, but left ourselves back open at the back door, then there's no real benefit to it. Greg, the first half, let's start there. Three goals. Nice to be clinical from change, obviously Joe Neil getting in early doors and setting us off properly.
Yeah, I thought that we started the game quite positively. Obviously getting the goal was good after 3 minutes, and then almost felt like we kind of dropped out for like maybe 10-15, and then picked it back up, and Scott Allen, great finish from him. Good to see him back in the score sheet and a goal and assist for him. And then the penalty that, well, it's not even a debate, is it? It's never a penalty in a million years, but you take it. And the penalty specialist, Martin Boyle, stuck it away. So, you know, you're looking at half-time, you're 3-0 up. Maybe did flatter us a wee bit. I didn't think we're worthy of the 3-goal lead, but you take it. And I think we could all write the script in the second half.
I think in the first half, especially without being fantastic, I do think obviously we scored 3 goals, but I think if a team was deserving to be in front, it was us. You know, like,
yeah, that's what I'm just not sure it should have been
hurt
by 3 goals.
But. Yeah, no, I think the general consensus would be that 3-0 definitely did flatter us at half time, but I think if it's not Hibs, you know, we probably look at it and go, oh, that's signing a good team and all that. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not playing that well and winning games and stuff. So maybe we just got to take that in our stride. Harry, the second half, like you said, was a little bit of a non-event. I guess looking back on it, I think at the game, you are shiting yourself a wee bit. But looking back on it, Dundee United scored with their only shot on target in the full game. For me, that shows that as much as I think we gave up a lot of the ball and Dundee United had a lot of shots outside the box, but they didn't cut us open other than one occasion in 90 minutes. I think we defended pretty well.
I think credit where it's due as well. I think they looked different after halftime. I think they came out with a lot of momentum and they actually moved the ball around very well. I said before the game I didn't expect much out of Dundee United, but I thought they actually looked very good on the ball in the second half. But as much as they were playing it around us because we weren't pressing particularly high, I did think they moved it around well and they actually looked like a good team. But yeah, there's literally, I can't really remember the second half off the top of my head. It was just very bland. That wee Fuchs boy was absolutely dominating the game. I thought he was brilliant. So if Hibs wanted to take a punt on him, wouldn't they hate it? But yeah, Matt Mason made another very good save, if I'm not mistaken.
It was like a cross that came in and nobody really flicked it on and he managed to get done low to his, back post, right? Aye, back post and turned that away.
a couple of players that always get criticism, and I try and back them up when they don't. I think the entire defence played brilliant. I think McGinn, Hanlon, Porteous and Stevenson all had great games. And I was actually surprised to see Stevenson drop because I thought he was very good at Dundee United. The way he was potentially my man of the match. I thought he was brilliant. But yeah, no, just happy we got through. It was pretty meh.
I think looking back on the game as well, Greg, obviously the drive home from Dundee, we were talking like, I watched the highlights and stuff. We had a couple of chances as well in the second half to really kill it. McGinnis had a shot from outside the box when he definitely had better options to pass it. And what I say, Joe Neal put one right across the 6-yard box that Nisbet just missed out on. I guess on reflection, yeah, it was probably a little bit better than maybe what it felt at the time. And what's your thoughts on the semi-final draw?
Yeah, I mean, at the times in the second half, it felt like the Alamo. I mean, when you're that low down and that far away from it, the ball looks a lot closer to the goal than the play actually is. I remember Scotland having a wee snapshot as well, so we did have chances, nothing really overly clear cut, but that was good to get the win. And then obviously the draw was one that we probably wanted, to be fair. I don't think we really wanted St Johnstone again. So brings back good memories playing them at Hampden.
As Jack Ross pointed out,
as he very well and correctly pointed out. I think that it's going to be a tough game, but it might suit us on the big park. We can get the wide players moving, and like we've shown last season that we can match Rangers. We probably gave them the hardest games last season, so I think we'll probably know more after this weekend, though.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously, we're not going to preview the Rangers game tonight. We're going to do a second episode later in the week because folk would be listening for about 4 hours if we were to go through everything that we needed to go through this weekend in one episode. Harry, moving into the St Johnstone game on Sunday. Were you confident going into the game? I know we've all said we struggle against St Johnstone. I didn't realise quite that it was 2014 since we last beat them at Easter Road.
I think just on the basis of how we normally play against St Johnstone, I bumped into Liam before the game and he said it was pretty much the way I described the final. Whoever scores first is just going to win and it's not going to be a great game at all. And I think that kind of summed it up perfectly. Every time we play St Johnstone, we just seem, Jack Ross likes to match them up as opposed to try and play our game. And it is just first goal wins. I didn't really feel under threat after. I'm jumping the gun already. I did think that as well. Whoever scored first was just going to take control of the game. I don't think at any point we looked uncomfortable. I think that we dominated, we didn't dominate the game, but we controlled it. I don't think at any point St Johnstone really had us under the thumb.
Yeah, no, I agree. Greg, what did you make before the game when it looked, when it came across that we were going to line up 3-5-2 for pretty much the first time this season? Obviously, we played a back three at Tynecastle, but it was the first time in that 3-5-2 that we used pretty well last season, other than against Sunday's opponents.
Yeah, I was quite happy with the starting lineup. Maybe wasn't so happy when the game got underway. I felt like we were quite slow. I think we've seen it a few times, a couple of times anyway. Even last week against Dundee United as well, we were maybe a wee bit slow in possession, a wee bit laboured. But I don't mind the 3-5-2. I was crying out for a lot last season. Maybe not so much this season. I was happy to see Cadden back on the right because I think he's wasted on the left. I don't think you get nearly enough out of him on the left. It's not this position. It was very scrappy in the first kind of 45, and we got, I know Harry pointed this out yesterday, but we didn't really get anything from the referee. I felt like he was almost begrudgingly giving us decisions in the first half, but we didn't help ourselves. We weren't anywhere near as quick and as sharp as we could have been in possession. We did create a couple of chances, obviously. Paul Hanlon's header in the first half of the corner, Josh Doig's shot in the box, Kevin Nisbet kind of going down under the tackle from the goalie, and Kyle McGinnis thinking he can hit the target for 40 yards out. So yeah, I didn't understand that thought process, but I would have played on the same, to be fair. So
Aye, what Harry? What do you think? Like Greg said, you did say to us at the game yesterday that you didn't think John Beaton's insistent on blowing his whistle every 2 minutes helped us get any flow in the game. But do you think there was anything to do with the change in formation that stopped that? For me, it felt like the front three, being Alan, Boyle and Nisbet, were very detached from the rest of the team at points. I felt like there was massive gaps between Newell, McGuinness and the front three, and I felt like that didn't help in terms of us getting that sort of quick passing attacking football that we've seen, probably maybe not seen as much of in the last few games, but definitely before the international break, we were popping about very nicely.
I think, to be honest, I think we missed Deutsch. I think with that system, it just suits having Deutsch. You can actually hold the ball up and bring players into the game. Nisbet, you can ask any Hibs fan, he's just out of form. I think he started the season off very well, but the last three or four games, he's just been terrible. On the beaten thing, the body check from Ambrose on Boyle is the most obvious free kick I've ever not seen given. Right. And then on the back of that, he gave about 4 incorrect decisions in a row and the whole stadium was booing him. I think the St Johnstone fans joined him with the booing. It was that bad. It was pathetic. And as soon as he'd done that, like, we completely stepped off, because I thought for the first like 10, 15, we looked quite lively. And as soon as that happened, like, it was like someone sapped all the energy out of us. I don't hate 3-5-2, and I think we looked pretty solid at the back, bar a couple points in the second half. But yeah, I don't mind against a team we struggle against, like St Johnstone, just in terms of actually grinding out results. I don't hate relying on that system, but I wouldn't like to see it against the likes of like Dundee United, Livingston, etc.
I agree. I thought I'm doing a lot of agreeing tonight. I thought we started the first 10, 15 minutes all right, and then it felt like St Johnstone sort of got what they wanted. Like play stop. Do you know the one thing that sort of summed up for me was just when Martin Boyle slipped and took out Xander Clark? That's like, nobody can do anything about it. The ref was right to stop play. But that's exactly what St Johnstone want. If Boyle doesn't slip, Xander Clark maybe only has the ball for 5 to 10 seconds. That took almost another minute off the clock, that. You know what I mean? Like St Johnstone just want the game to be so stop start so that nothing really gets flowing, so that they can then just ultimately play for set pieces, maybe doing them a little bit of disservice. But I have to be honest, I've seen some people say like maybe at halftime, oh, they're a good team and stuff. I don't think they're good this year. I really, really, they're going to be hard to score against. You know what I mean? They're going to be hard to score against. They're going to be solid at the back, but I just don't see them scoring goals. Like, and I think there's a few teams in the league where I think there's a real lack of quality in the St Johnstone final third. Like, I think with what you said earlier, Harry, I never really felt that worried. Like, obviously in the second half there was that period where it felt like probably like there had a lot, it felt like there was a fair amount of crosses coming out in the box and stuff, but I was pretty relaxed. I don't know why. And I thought the centre halves were outstanding at the weekend. I thought Paul Hanlon and Ryan Porteous, Paul McGinn was good as well, but especially Hanlon and Porteous, I thought were very, very good at the weekend. I dealt with Chris Kane well, who is ultimately not a football player, just wants to barge into people and play. He's got no intention of playing the ball half the time when the ball's in there. But Greg, you've been less than impressed, shall we say, with a defending across the season so far. Better on Sunday?
Yeah, I thought it was better at stages. I still think we look nervy from crosses into the box. I think a lot of that might come from the crowd, but there's almost that sense of, shit, here's a ball in the box. I think we actually attacked the ball twice at the weekend. Counted, so that was good. It's two more times than we've done all season. It was good. I think a clean sheet was important. I noticed the Hibs tweeted out today that it's 5 clean sheets and 9 for Matt Macy. Does not tell the full story, in my opinion. I just think that although that is good, I was shouting on him to come out for crosses all game, and then he'd done it at the end of the game, and you're shouting him to get back on his line, because that is fucking dreadful.
That's what I was going to say. I felt like in the first half, he was coming for all the corners in the first half.
I didn't think that at all. I thought he was glued to his line a lot in the first half. I think there was a couple of times where he could have came and should have came, and he didn't. I think there was once where he palmed the ball in front of a corner, and another time when he punched it in the first half. But other than that, I felt like he was very much on his line, which for a goalie of his size, I think that's quite strange, but you can understand it because, yeah, he really doesn't like coming for crosses. and I don't think Ali come coming for crosses either, to be honest, because he doesn't seem confident enough to come out and collect the ball. He almost seems a wee bit nervous and a wee bit hesitant. So if he is feeling like that, I would much rather he just stayed in his line.
Yeah, like an all or nothing sort of thing. You come for 99% of them when it's on, or you just say to the defenders, you deal with it, I'll deal with the shots if they come, sort of thing.
I want to make another point where I felt like St Mirren done this a lot last week as well, where they were right on top of us at times and we almost don't really know what to do. We want to keep playing the ball, but we don't always do that. So I don't really know if there's a thing where teams are pressing us, we can't really play out as well. So I think when teams do that, you're always almost like a couple of passes away for a good counter-attack. But yes, I feel we are a wee bit slow and a wee bit ditzy in possession at times, where we almost can't make our mind at what we want to do and we can't get the ball distributed quick enough. So I just wanted to know your guys' opinions on.
I totally agree with that, because there was a point in the it was in the second half, Macy just rolled it to Porteous, like inside the 6 yard box. It was a goal kick, and it went to McGinn. McGinn looks up, like, so it opens himself up to go down the right side. He's got Cadden, but Cadden's got someone on him, and then there's nobody else, so it ends up going back to Porteous, goes to Macy, and it goes long. And I'd much rather us play the ball short and pass it about. But I felt yesterday at points there was a huge, huge gap between, like I said earlier, between the sort of defence and the sort of, and at some points, even the set of midfielders, it was like, maybe because Jake Doyle-Hayes wasn't there, I don't know, was that the first time McGinnis and Newell played as a two? And obviously with Scott Allen, he is given that sort of role to sort of cheat a wee bit in the number 10. Like, it did feel like there was big gaps in the midfield at points, and there was a few times where O'Halloran, when they got the ball, was able to get through. And I think if you'd want to pass it out, you've got to have the right players. You know what I mean? If you want to play passing football, it's got to be quick, so it's got to be short passes. Like, playing 20-yard passes isn't really going to get you out and it's got to be short and sharp.
There were times, yes, even from like when Poachers had the ball in the first half, there was big gaps of space. I mean, surely you can, you know, sit in that gap or you can go into the gap and look for the ball. But, yeah, I mean, even in the second half, like, Poachers are standing 2 yards away from Macy and then it goes sideways and it comes back and it goes into midfield and it comes back again. It's almost like, I know we're keeping possession, but we're not really doing anything with it. We're almost being a wee bit lazy with possession instead of actually getting it moving.
It's a difficult balance, isn't it?
Whereas against St Johnstone, if they're going to sit in, you need to take a risk. You know, you need to try and drive that 5-10 yards forward and look for the pass or get a ball in the box, whatever. But I almost felt like yesterday we just weren't willing to do that. And I don't know where that comes from. I guess nobody really wants a crowd on their back, but you need to be brave when teams are sitting in and try and gamble and try and risk it. But yeah, like I think it's very easy to pick out where you've gone wrong. We were saying it on the way home on Thursday. It's so easy to moan about things, but I feel like we were a bit too patient in our play yesterday.
Yeah, I'm very much an advocate for if it's not on, keep the ball. And then just with what you're saying there was a situation in the game yesterday where I wanted to see the ball came out of Scott Allen, and he's just hooked it over his shoulder into space on the sort of right wing. And not a soul's there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you've got some people, I'm very much more of a, that, like, just keep the ball at that point. Mm-hmm. But then you've got other people like, well, at least he's looking forward and trying this. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I'm like, I'd just rather keep the ball. And that's, I don't really care if Joe Neal plays the ball 10 yards backwards. What I care about is if he's got an option to go forward. You know what I mean? And I think at times yesterday, it was maybe just too easy to play the ball back to hang on the Porteous. Anyway, Harry, the penalty comes. We are huge. We get penalties all the time. That's 3 games in a row we've had penalties. Most in the league. We've had them in the League Cup. We've had them in Europe. Was it a penalty for you?
Not, but if you look at... I know it's not how you're supposed to look at things, but we should have had 2 penalties in the first half. Everything in football balances itself out. I don't know if you've seen the Scott Allen one. I didn't think it was one at the time, but watching that back, Booth's literally stamped on his foot. And for me, Nisbet beats Clark to the ball, and then Clark brings him down before he touches the ball, so that's a penalty. But yeah, no, it's never a penalty. I don't think in any if within the rules of the game that's a penalty, they need to change the rules. We'll take our luck when it comes. We're not exactly going to miss a penalty on purpose because the rest made a blunder. I think the worst part of it, it's never a booking in a million years because it's got to show some form of...
I think he got booked for his reaction because he sprinted right at the ref.
Ah, fair. But
I mean, to be honest, so with that, like, that's not a penalty.
That was a shocker. That was a shocker from Peter.
Just with what you're saying, I've watching the highlights of that, I've literally got Sportsheet paused on the telly behind the laptop. I've literally just watched the highlights there. I didn't think it was... I have to say, at the game, I didn't realise how close Boyle was to him.
Yeah.
I had in my head that there was a little bit more distance in it, and when I was listening to the radio on the way back, Callum Davidson was like, it was about a yard away, and I was like, no, it wasn't. It felt like the ball had sort of travelled a bit, but it definitely hadn't. And I wasn't convinced by either of the ones in the first half. Maybe I wasn't paying too much attention to the highlights. I did think the Nisbet one was a penalty, though. I'd say the Scott Allen one, not so much, but I'll maybe rewatch it, but I did think Nisbet should have a penalty. But sometimes I judge off your player reaction. Like, I thought we should have had a penalty last week for Kyle McGuinness in the first half in the lead up to their goal, and the highlights done nothing to really change my mind on that. But McGuinness never really complained. And Scott Allen and Nisbet yesterday didn't really complain either. So I don't know.
I think that's the main difference, though, because for that penalty, as soon as Boyle hits it, he like screams at the ref and he's like straight up with a hand and stuff. So even if it's not a penalty, you still need to shout for it.
See, to be honest, for me, the Scott Allen one was probably more of a penalty, and he did kind of complain for the ref that it was, and he had a point. I don't really know the Nisbet one. It was on the other side, so it was kind of difficult to see. But I think Nisbet just kind of... I mean, I don't know if that's because he didn't look interested at all yesterday, or if that actually wasn't a penalty. But yeah, I mean, he's really starting to concern me at the moment.
Let's just talk about Kevin Nisbet now anyway. I was gonna come on to it, but what am I making these performances just now? Even when he gets I'm not convinced by his work off the ball. And that wouldn't worry me if when he was on the ball he looked sharp, but he looked a bit laboured in possession. And I know it's true, and he likes a passed finish. And do you know what? When you pass the ball into the net, it looks good, but one too many times and now it's just slow and tight. When it was deflected wide, and you can tell he's trying to pass it in the bottom corner, but just shift it and smack it.
You know what? That was that I brought him off after that because he really didn't look interested in them. That was a pathetic attempt, to be honest. He's not even trying to hit it. I don't really care. You're what, 7, 8, 9, 10 yards out. Just put your laces through it. It really doesn't matter. Don't try and pass it in the corner. And then he had one towards the end, but I think I was just a bit blessed that burst a blood vessel in my head shouting at him, because that was pathetic as well. And it just summed him up. It's summed him up for weeks now. He is so far off it. And do you know what? To be honest,
since international break, isn't it?
To be honest, I would drop him there. I've had enough of him right now. I think we need to drop him. I don't think he can... I think if a striker's trying, you can see they're trying fair enough if it's not coming off of them, but he's not even trying anymore. You know, he's just throwing his hands up in the air and he's like a petulant child. So, yeah, I don't think he can really cope with that much longer. I mean, Boyle's kind of carrying him and us all at the moment. But for me, Nisbet is just unacceptable. You know, he's not even attempting anything. He's just being very lazy with it. And
that's when they sort of finishes come off, they look great, composed and stuff, and it's... We spoke about it a few times. It's a lot of time with football and what goes on and off the pitches. Excuse me. So how does it come across? How does it look? And you see Nisbet maybe not... I don't know. It's almost like the team as a whole, as much as we're still unbeaten, I feel like we were much, much better before the international break as we have been after. And Jack Ross did say after the game that basically nobody's training now. Nisbet's no training, Boyle's no training, McGuinness isn't training, and Jake Doyle Hayes is still feeling a bit dodgy after his illness. And obviously, I know Nisbet got his knock. Was he injured? Because he got injured. Did he get hit in the last game before the international game? And then he got injured. Was it Ross? who did we play at home just before the international break? He went off injured, and then he missed the first Scotland game, and then did he get injured yesterday as well? Did he get a?
He went to tackle. Sean Rennie got injured. I don't even know if he was injured. To be honest, I think he just put up there. But
it's just we are a bit bare bones just now, and it's actually something that I wanted to speak about last week. We've all went on about squad depth and what our thoughts are on it, but every club in the country is affected by injuries. Look at Celtic's last two results. Go and look at their bench. You know what I mean? Like, not this. It's not an exclusive problem. Hibs having injuries and then struggling on the back of it, and we're still grinding out results. We're still unbeaten. So, as much as you can look at the bench and say there's no options there, there's no options that. We're not losing games, which is sometimes just as important as winning them, especially the way the league seems to be shaping up this year. When you look at Aberdeen are 8 without a win. Celtic haven't won away from home, just dropped points at home at Dundee United. Rangers aren't really firing all cylinders, and I think I've seen a tweet saying us and Hearts have had the exact same results every week this season in terms of win, draw, loss. I think we scored one more goal, but if we drew, they've drew. So we're not cut adrift. We're still in a really good position. So whilst the squad is maybe running a little bit on empty just now, even with the players that are fit, if they're not training and the likes in this bit, I guess maybe it might not look great, but maybe there's things going on in the background. Anyway, back to the game. Harry, Martin Boyle, prior to a fantastic celebration, I was convinced he was going to miss yesterday because he's just not missed in a while. I just every penalty we get now, I expect us to miss just because it's been so long since we missed. And to be fair, every penalty we Hibs ever get, I think we're going to miss. But he done his best to miss it.
I know, I was the exact same. I was like, this is a terrible thing. I'm gutted we've got this penalty. This is giving them all the momentum. But yeah, no, to be fair, Xander Clark should save that. Like, for me, it's difficult. It's always difficult to say a keeper should save a penalty. But if you go the right way and you get a strong hand on it, for me, you should be saving it. Because Boyle didn't even hit it that hard. Because most of the time he hits them, like, he does proper zip them. But I didn't think it was that well hit a penalty compared to, like, placement was good, but the power behind it wasn't that great. I was shocked to see Boyle get man of the match, though.
I didn't agree with that.
I thought, like, as much as we're giving Kevin Nisbet stick, Boyle's kind of been snap padding with the penalties. Pardon?
Yeah. That was one of them, who do you want to meet in the hospitality suite after the game? That was...
I think he's been off the boil. If he hadn't been scoring, if he hadn't been scoring penalties, I think he'd be in the same category as Nisbet because he's just not doing Boyle things like he normally does.
I think you could say the same for Kevin Nisbet, Martin Boyle, Kyle McGuinness, Jake Doyle Hayes when he's been fit, Josh Doig. I would say the only players for me that post, and I would probably just break it down to pre and post international break that are performing better now than they were prior was the back three on Sunday. I think Hanlon, Portress and McGinn have all improved massively post international break as opposed to prior to it. The Boyle one is interesting, isn't it? Because he is scoring goals. The majority of them are penalties, but ultimately our issue in the last few games, minus Dundee United, expect the last two league games at home, I'm saying issue with taking 4 points out of six, but I don't know about you, but it feels like we've struggled to create, especially compared to the start of the season, and for me that ultimately rests on the shoulders of Boyle, Nisbet, Scott Allen, Kyle McGuinness. They're the players you're expecting to do it.
Yeah, I think it's maybe harsh expecting Scott Allen to create.
I'm just mentioning because he played
in the last few games. But yeah, I mean, I think that Boyle, I don't know what's going on with him at the moment. He almost seems like he doesn't want to take folk on or whatever. I think at the moment, well, Doidge is out, he's definitely better playing through the middle and having Cadden out wide. So, but yeah, I don't really know. I think that that will click one day, and we'll probably get beat. So we'll be unbelievable one weekend, and we'll get beat. That's usually the way it works.
3-0 or 4-3.
Yeah, but no, I definitely think that we need to contribute more. But we've got to this stage in the season, we're still unbeaten without haven't played overly well in the last few games. Obviously, St Mirren game was, you might call it disappointing, I'd probably call it unacceptable. But but yeah, no, I think that, look, there's plenty of positive to take. I don't want to sit here and start crucifying players who are in a good position. But this weekend is massive. I think it's, you know, I don't think we can really play it down. I think that, you know, we want to go there and get something. I'm not really overly bothered about performance, but we need to go there and get something. But that is for Thursday night.
Yeah. I wraps us up nicely on the St John's game, to be fair, Greg, I think. Harry, were you surprised to see Jamie Gillam come on ahead of James Scott?
Was James Scott on the bench?
I think so, eh?
James Scott was terrible off the bench against Dundee United, so I'm not surprised he didn't come on. He was howfing. Jamie Gillam, I've not seen anything of note from him since he scored against Inverness about 7 years ago. To be fair, he's not been given a good run though, so hopefully if he actually gets minutes in him, he can do something. But yeah,
was McCann on the bench yesterday?
Yes.
I don't really know why he was brought on, to be honest, because surely he's sure had an order than Gillam.
I might be talking like utter shite here and saying that both of them were on the bench and they weren't, but I'll just double check that right now. I've got Sky Sports up. I'm sure they were both on the bench because I'm sure the bench was looking a little bit healthier. Yeah. Dan Mackay wasn't, but So Scott, Stevenson, Dabrowski, Wood, Gogic, Gullen, and Doyle Hayes were on the bench.
Do you know what I think it's called? Offside from your own goal kick. Should be instantly dropped, and it's not on because it's just laziness.
Well, this is the thing. I think that was just a lack of concentration because he thought it was a goal kick, but it was a free kick because it was a free kick for the corner and the ball was inside the 6 yard box. And obviously, you can't be offside from a goal kick, can you? But no, you can't from a free. No, you can't be offside.
That's what James Scott got caught offside for there, right? It was a goal kick and he was caught offside.
Well, can't be offside for a goal kick.
He was behind Ryan Edwards and got called offside. I'm sure it was a goal kick.
Must have been the referee getting it wrong because the rule in the game is you can't be offside for a goal kick.
Yeah. Hence why I think Nisbet got caught yesterday because I reckon he just went, it's a goal kick. But anyway, it's still stupid. You should ken if it's a goal kick or a fucking free kick. Ultimately, 3 points is 3 points in the bag. We're sitting second on the table. And like you say, we're going to Ibrox on Sunday, but we'll preview that on Thursday evening. Before Thursday night, we have...
Can I just say one thing on Ibrox? I think fair play to the club for sorting us out and actually allowing the fans a platform to watch the game at the Easter Road. But absolute shame on Celtic and Rangers. It's pathetic. It's disgusting, the fact that they're not allowing away fans. It's completely within their control. I don't know if you've seen Celtic denying Wraith the other day. It's embarrassing. It's shocking. It's a terrible reflection on the game from the governing body. And I just think that both clubs should hang their heads in shame. If Hibs fans want to go to that game, it's a top of the table clash and there's not going to be any away fans there. It's absolutely embarrassing and pathetic. And Celtic and Rangers, the people running both those clubs are scum.
That brings me nice on to my point. I was going to save it for Thursday, but here we are. I'm telling you, if Hibs give them anything, that is nothing short of a total disgrace. Hibs should give them nothing. And I really don't care about, it's money. I don't give a fuck, right? I'd rather go without. If they're not going to play ball with us, then they shouldn't be allowed in either. And if the club lied into them, then the club are pathetic as well. Because it's about time that we actually took a stand against this mob and said, no, you're not getting any tickets because you don't give us tickets. So at least between Hibs and Hearts, there's a gentleman's agreement that it's the full stand every time without fail. But I'm sorry, if there are any travelling Rangers fans in the away end at Easter Road, then that is nothing short of a shambles, because why should we give them anything? Regardless of capacity sizes, regardless of what they might think, they should get nothing from us.
It'll be it's an interesting one, because obviously my understanding of it is when the red zones go away, then the minimum away allocation comes back into play. You know what I mean? From the SPFL. So
well, just sell that first, because that's what Rangers do.
What I'm saying is, if red zones aren't a thing, then we'll have to give X amount to Rangers, just give them the minimum if that's the case. Obviously, if the red zones are still a thing, then Hibs are able to do it. And for me, we'll just talk about the ticket situation just now. But with the lack of tickets next weekend, I think that the SPFL need to step in and say, no, red zones or no red zones or whatever you want to say, you have to have. It's what UEFA are doing. No, we're going. I don't know if Celtic or Rangers are at home during the week. I don't know. I think Rangers might be away, but I think Celtic are at home. UEFA have told, you seen it against Lyon, was it? Rangers played the other week. UEFA have said they have to be away. It has to be possible for away fans to get tickets. I think there was 20 fucking Lyon fans in the corner, but the allocation was still there. And I don't understand how Rangers were going to be able to offer Celtic tickets if Celtic were able. So Rangers, I think Rangers might have even released a statement on it, as they do on many things, saying that if Celtic had given name guarantees around tickets for their next one at Christmas time or whatever, then they would have looked after Celtic fans and got them into the ground. So where's that for Motherwell fans at the weekend, last weekend, and Hibs fans next weekend? It's bullshit. And that's why I think the SPFL need to step in. And obviously, if the SPFL do step in, then that might take out the chance of Hibs giving them none. But I would hope that Hibs either give them none if they can, or give them the minimum amount that
is it not like 2% or something?
I think it's like 5 or something, is it? Because we get about 900 in a 50,000 seater stadium. So,
I'm not very good at maths, but sure, that's not 5%.
1% would be. 10% is 5,000. So, about 2%, roughly, right?
Mm-hmm. So. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know what 2% of 20,000 is, 21,000, but. Give them that and
corner
and get them out of my sight. All it does is it means that it's 55,000 whatever folks spouting their bile instead of 54,100 spouting their bile. So really, it makes no difference, because it's still a load of shite they sing anyway. So yeah, but it also means that there's more chance of them getting on the players' back. As we see after 5 minutes when they misplace our pass. But yeah, I just think the ticketing system is an absolute shambles, and I'm glad the SPFL are taking things into their own hands and doing it because they are part of the problem.
Right, a good ticketing situation. 6,000 tickets sold or claimed, shall we say. Secured, claimed, whatever we want to call it, for the women's derby match on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a fantastic, and first of all, let's talk about what the club are obviously trying to do, and then we'll talk about the game a little bit. I think it's a fantastic initiative that the club are trying to do. There seems to be a real want and desire to really sort of bring the two sides of the club together, which probably hasn't been the case, would you say, Harry, in the last maybe 2 years or so? I think that Leanne Demp's done a lot of good work at the club, but the women's team felt a little bit disassociated still.
I think the women's team were mainly just the victims of other teams going professional and falling behind a bit. I think that people would always just kind of like to say to their mates, oh, well, at least Hibs are the best women's team in Scotland. And ever since, like, the prominence of Glasgow and now Celtic Rangers as well, they've kind of fallen off the chart a bit. But they look like they're in a lot better position this year than they were last year, though. They're playing really well. So hopefully, and we've seen Rod Gordon's been going to some of their games and stuff. So that's brilliant to see. It's nice seeing both clubs actually interacting with one another.
Yep. Greg, me, you and Liam, we're going to be able to get along to the game. Harry, unfortunately not. You looking forward to going along on Wednesday, Greg?
Yeah, I think it'll be good. It'll be something different. I don't think I've ever been to a Hibs women's game, so it's a first for me. I did notice that on the high B buzz, Ron Gordon said that the Hibs women's team are going to try and be brought under the footballing department and not under the Hibernian Community Foundation. So he wants to take that back and get that back involved with the footballing department of the club. But yeah, no, it'll be good. I think obviously the half-time snacks will be good as well. So it'll be absolutely freezing. But no, it'll be good. It'll be good to get along and see what it's all about. It's always something that you keep an eye on, mainly because Nibs ladies have always been a million times better than the men. But yeah, I think it'll be good to actually experience it. And obviously it's a derby, so.
Get right up there, bastards,
can I just say, though, absolute credit to the men's team intentionally getting knocked out of Europe so the women's team can have their first home game at Easter Road. That is incredible commitment to the cause. Super well done, Jack Ross.
It's good, Jack Ross, you've got to thank for that.
but the women have been, and I think it'll be a good game. They've started the season well. Obviously, some really convincing wins in the league and in the League Cup. However, they did come to their first defeat on Sunday as well. Sunday, it was, let's say, 12:30 kickoff. It was on BBC Scotland. But promising signs, I think, Harry, like you say, the prominent Celtic and stuff have obviously got a lot more money in them these days and more than what Hibs do. But it was a real, real good goal from Celtic, then a wonder strike from Colette Kavanagh equalised, and then, to be honest, a poor goal to concede in the 92nd minute. It came pretty much straight from a Hibs goal kick. A great finish from the Celtic player as well, but Hibs, there wasn't many chances in the game, and it was really competitive, and I think it shows that Hibs are capable of challenging again this year, and hopefully, obviously, I think it'll be difficult to win the league, but hopefully put some strong showings on in the cup and qualify for Europe again.
Yeah, I think the main thing is, like, last year, being realistic, the levels that they were competing at with the likes of Spartans, but they've went away to Celtic and it's just an absolute gut punch at the end of the game. Obviously played well, made a good account of themselves and just unfortunately couldn't hold on for that extra minute or two. I fully believe that they're going to go out and absolutely pump Hearts off the back of that. They'll hopefully be a bit of fire in the belly and they'll be ready to just go and destroy Hearts. They've got a good record against them, so hopefully they kick on and smash through them.
I think so. Well, yeah, like I say, we'll bet the game on Wednesday, so we'll get some coverage on the go on Twitter and stuff like that, as we normally do for the games when we're at them. Obviously, we didn't get much coverage over the weekend because the majority of us were hanging out at Arsenal's and couldn't be arsed with Twitter on Sunday. No, but right, Hybe of the week to wrap us up, and then we'll get some score predictions for the Hibs women's game against Hearts on Wednesday night. So, Harry, who is your Hibs Hybe of the week this week from the Dundee United and St Johnston games?
It's a tricky one because I think that there's actually quite a few players that you could choose from, but just because I've been on his back a bit and I think that he's probably been our best player in the last couple of games. I think Ryan Porteous was absolutely phenomenal against Dundee United away, and I thought he was even better against St Johnston at home. So, yeah, the big behemoth at the back, Mr Porteous, gets my high B the week.
Do you think he's got a chance of being in the Scotland squad on Tuesday when it's announced?
I don't think so yet. I reckon maybe the next window after. We know that Clark likes to be very certain before mixing things up. So I'd love to see him in there, but I'd be surprised.
Okay, Greg, who gets your nomination? And do you think Ryan Porteous has got a chance in the Scotland squad?
I'm going to say Kyle McGuinness because that song's been stuck in my head all week. I mean, it is a good song, like, but it's been stuck in my head all week, so I'm going to say him. I think Porteous have got a chance. No, I don't think he's sure enough, to be honest, yet. To be considered for that, I wouldn't say he's a million miles off.
I mean, you see Scott McKenna still getting called up, and you keep relatively close cabs on Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, I mean, Scott McKenna is nothing short of a terrible football player and not a defender. You probably know that I follow Forest some of the time. And he gets a game every week and he is murder. So yeah, I don't think Scott McKenna is a good football player either. But I think maybe if Porteous can get a run where he's consistent every week, then you might find that he's back in there. But at the moment, I just think he's a bit too up and down at the moment to really make a case for a captain to be called up to the Scotland squad.
It'll be interesting. So obviously, Clark has called him up in the past, so he's obviously aware of him. So it'll be interesting to see if it does happen. I don't think it'll happen this time. I sort of agree with Harry, though. I feel like if he can have a good run, if he continues his good form, because I think he's had a good start to the season. There's another international break in November, which I think if he keeps playing the way he is, he might have a chance, but Clark does like to pick the same players a lot of times. It'll probably come down to who's injured and who. It'll all come down to
In my opinion, with the games that we've got up, the next four games, I think, are all pretty massive games. If he can play at the same level that he's been playing in those four, I don't think Clark's got an excuse not to call him up. Because if he can show he can do it in the big games, he can do it for Scotland.
Yeah. And my high be the week, I am going to go alongside Harry. I'm going to go for a defender. And I'm going to go for Paul Hanlon. I thought he was very, very good at the weekend. I thought he was good enough against Dundee United. The same as sorry, everyone I would say was good enough against Dundee United, ultimately got the job done. But I thought him and Ryan Porteous were very, very, very good on Sunday. And I don't know if he's caught them at the end of the game, but you could tell they were very proud of their afternoon's work because they were both going fucking raj, which is always nice to see. And then Harry, kick us off with a score prediction for the women's derby on Wednesday night. You've said that you think we're going to pump them, so just how much?
You know what, I'm going to double down. I'm going to put a big score line in there. I think 6-0, 6-0.
Nice. One for every 1,000 fan in attendance. What about yourself, Greg?
I don't really know much about the kind of form of the two teams. I don't have a very good start. I don't really know much about Hearts.
They got beat by Rangers at home at the weekend, 3-0.
Rangers not meant to be pretty good, though.
Yeah, no, Rangers are good. Rangers are probably the best team in the league. They've played two games, won both and got a 10-goal difference. Hearts have played three, lost three with a -6-goal difference.
Right, well, I'll go 3-0 Hibs then.
I am going to take 5-0 Hibs.
Go in the cabbage.
The free scoring form will return. It just won't be at the Tony Mac. It'll be at under the lights at Easter Road. It should be an enjoyable evening for everyone. And then hopefully, with a good show and a good win against Hearts, some of the 6,000 might go start back going sort of weekly as well. I think even if they could get 10-20% of that every week, the club would be delighted, and I think it would be a big boost for everyone. But no, like I say, we'll be back on Thursday night. Boys, thank you very much for coming on and chatting a lot of pish as per usual. But we'll be back on Thursday night reviewing the women's game and previewing our trip away to Rangers on Sunday. Cheers.
Bye.